This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode about sharks. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Sharks face multiple threats today, from issues caused by climate change to overfishing. But in an interesting twist, many fishermen want to play a role in keeping sharks safe and alive. Alan Yu caught up with one of them, who got hooked on shark fishing more than a decade ago.
I'm at an undisclosed beach in New Jersey at 5:30 in the afternoon, waiting for the people to leave. That's because I'm here with fisherman AJ Rotendeller and two clients who are going to fish for sharks. AJ is busy getting the gear and bait ready. He drives metal stakes in the sand, sticks very tall fishing rods into them, and cuts up some of the fish he brought in a cooler for bait. Bunker, bluefish, and dogfish. Shark fishing is what his life is about.
I shark fish. Shark fish, eat pizza and shark fish. That's pretty much it.
AJ has always loved to fish.
Waking up in the morning, you have no idea, it's a wide open ocean. Anything could be anywhere at any time. And I think that's fascinating.
But he got into shark fishing 13 years ago, when his brother told him they could catch sharks from the beach.
We went, we caught two. Then we couldn't replicate that success for the rest of the season. So that, like, really got me interested, because I knew it was possible, but I couldn't do it again.
He became consumed with catching sharks. AJ was working as one of the crew on a party boat at the time, but he wanted more time for his new quest.
So I went to the captain. I was like, hey, I only want to work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And he goes, are you kidding me? You can't work the weekends? That's the most busy time. I'm like, no, I got to go shark fishing. I have to. He's like, you're going to lose all the money. I'm like, oh, I don't care. I need to go shark fishing.
But there was a big learning curve, a lot of trial and error and painstakingly tracking all of the factors that could lead to a catch.
I obsessed, absolutely obsessed over this. And then eventually I learned about the tides, water temps, currents, moon phases, this, that, and everything else. And that's just through sheer torture. It was horrible. But looking back, obviously, it's rewarding. Because now I can just pick and choose the window that I know is going to produce, catch a bunch, and go home, instead of having to sit out there for 60 hours and hope for a bite.
He did not give me specifics about what he had learned about tides and currents and phases of the moon, except that he has learned from experience that right here is a good time and place. And that is what he likes about shark fishing. It's a challenge to catch one, especially fishing from a beach and not out at sea on a boat.
To catch a fish with your feet on the sand without being able to chase them down or anything like that, I find that to be a lot more fun. And also, when you catch a huge animal like a shark, you get right up next to it instead of looking over the boat looking at it, you know?
AJ spends the summers in New Jersey and winters in Florida so he can catch sharks year-round. He runs a company called Apex Anglers, where he guides people who want to catch sharks. The beach has cleared out, and AJ casts a line manually out into the water. But he also wants to set up some lines further out. He puts bait on a waterproof drone and flies it out far offshore, further than he could cast a line. Before drones, he used to get in a kayak to drop the bait off. He says we should see a shark very soon.
Now we're 10 minutes from a shark.
10 minutes?
Set a timer?
You can. You can if you want. I can't guarantee it, but
30 minutes later, one of his clients sees one of the lines shaking. Something's eating the bait. AJ drops the fish he was cutting up for fresh bait and sprints over to the line to reel the shark in.
I think he's playing games with me.
After about a minute of reeling the line, AJ drops it.
We had a bite, a pickup, but he spit the hook out.
They put out some fresh bait. The sun goes down, it gets cooler. They get a few more bites, but no shark.
They're killing us. Sharks 3, us 0.
And then after 10 p.m., more than 4 hours in, with the light of headlamps and the buildings behind us, we see another shaking line, another bite.
Finish the meal, please.
AJ hands the pole to his client, who starts reeling the fish in.
Wow, you got yourself a fish right there.
Pulling the shark is hard, with a strong current and the shark fighting to get away.
We're gonna see the fish in like the next minute or two.
AJ grabs his tools, a glove, something to pull the hook out if necessary, and a pair of cutters to cut the metal wire attached to the hook.
But these tools are right here, in case we need them.
He sticks them in the sand by the shore. After the client reels in the line for a few minutes, AJ, the client, and I head towards the water. Soon we see it. It's big, a 7-foot-long sand tiger shark. It's gray on top with a white belly. The hook is in its mouth, and it's wriggling in the water. AJ's headlamp illuminates the shark's mouth and its sharp teeth. I'm close enough that I could touch it. AJ makes sure to keep the shark submerged, so it always has water to breathe through.
Come on, buddy. Where's that hook? Loosen up, loosen up.
One of the clients runs over with the pair of cutters. AJ cuts the wire. The client grabs the shark's tail to set it back to the water.
Back to the ocean. Keep going, harder, faster. Wait for this wave. Keep going, more. Spin her around. Let her go. And there she goes. And she's gone. Just like that.
We waited hours for those action-packed minutes. AJ had warned me beforehand that I would barely get to see the sharks they catch. And that is intentional, to make sure the sharks are not harmed.
You just want the fish to survive. That's the end of the story. The point is, for this to be a sustainable fishery, you need to have fish swimming off and living a happy life after the encounter.
AJ makes sure to use a barbless hook, so once he cuts the wire, the shark should be able to just shake the hook off. He wants to catch the sharks, not kill them.
And then when I started catching them, you appreciate them more, definitely, because you can get right up next to them.
The care AJ takes with his catch is important, especially since many sharks are endangered, including the sand tiger. AJ says he makes sure he has the right gear and the right techniques so that he does not have to fight a shark for a long time and the shark always stays in the water. Fish ecologist John Mohan says both of those points are important.
The longer they have to fight, the less chance of survival.
John is at the University of New England and has done research on what helps sharks survive after being caught. NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, supported his research. He says sharks get stressed from fighting an angler's line, and they need water to help them cope.
If a shark has fought really hard, what can end up happening, just like a human, when you're running, sprinting really fast, right, your muscles get sore because you're building up lactate, which is a byproduct of anaerobic metabolism. And so what you want to do is you want to flush out that lactate. And the only way to do that is to get fresh water over the gills, which is going to help freshen up their blood, essentially.
It's like how human runners need to breathe more heavily after an intense sprint. John learned some of this from a study he did with shark anglers in the Gulf of Mexico and looking at the black-tipped sharks they caught and how many of them survived. Anglers being worried about sharks surviving the catch is a somewhat newer development in the U.S., as Andy Danochuk remembers. He's a professor of fish conservation at the University of Massachusetts Amherst.
I remember vividly going to the Florida Keys in the 70s and seeing all these big, massive tiger sharks and hammerheads all staked up this board outside of this fishing pier.
But that changed as research showed the shark populations are threatened. Shark anglers became more conservation-minded.
For many recreational anglers, it is the immersion in the environment. It's the thrill of the chase, the opportunity to get close to the thing that you're targeting.
And Andy includes himself in that group. He has been fishing his entire life, including for sharks.
The more that I fished, and then the more that I was observant of what was going on in the environment and with these species, I started to realize that in order for us to have a future for being able to fish for these animals, we need to think about how we can use science to better inform their conservation and management.
And this work is about fish behavior, but also very much about human behavior and what drives people's interactions with sharks. Some people like to fish for sharks. Other anglers like to fish for other things and get annoyed when sharks eat the fish on their lines. There are commercial fishing operations that sometimes catch sharks in their nets without meaning to. And there are people who want to see sharks when they're diving or snorkeling. So the challenge for scientists like Andy is to figure out how to work with all these people with their competing and overlapping interests and maintain healthy shark populations.
We're doing a lot of science and social science and doing that in parallel, because at the end of the day, we're not managing sharks or we're not managing fish. We're managing people.
The end goal of this work is to save sharks. And it means shark anglers like AJ can experience the thrill of the catch and watch them swim away to sea another day in the ocean.
That story was reported by Alan Yu.